Disclaimer. The views and opinions you hear expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. The show tapes live some weeks on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Check my Twitter feed, ANNZAC, for more. Enjoy the show. Hey everybody, welcome to ANCAST. I'm Zach Burgey. Jacob's here.
Hey there.
And joining us for the first time on the show, he covers JoJo's Bizarre Adventure and One Piece, believe it or not. It's Sam Leach. He's also, you can find him on the One Piece podcast. Isn't that a .com?
Yes. Sam? OnePiecePodcast.com is...
Right, exactly. Yeah, so OnePiecePodcast.com, and you know, like I said, he writes our weekly reviews for it. Sam, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
How's it going?
I'm excited, so... it's going all right. Today is it was my last class of the semester this morning. So,
oh really? Really? Yeah. This late?
Well, I was taking some summer courses. So,
oh, so now your real summer the real summer vacation begins, as they say.
More or less, yeah.
Right. Okay. You gonna watch a lot of anime?
Yeah, I'm gonna try. There's a few shows that I actually just started catching up the last few days. So,
well, that's cool. What have you been catching up on?
Of the season, I caught up on Orange and Mob Psycho 100, and I watched the first episode of Sweetness and Lightning, which I did not expect to like as much as I did. Everyone was talking about how, amazingly adorable and cute it is, and I'm just like, is that something I'm in the mood for? But it turns out it's actually pretty awesome.
Jacob, you were into that one, right?
Yeah, it's not like cute like Love Live is cute, where it's like escape into this world of magic and fantasy and wonder. It's like, oh, this is an actual small child playing a small child, and it's cute because she's like bratty and she won't eat her food. And
I was really impressed with the voice they got for the kid. I think she easily could have been super super obnoxious, but she's very very engaging and fun to watch.
Yeah, so it's really cute and sad because it's like, oh no, single parent can't cook for his adorable little girl who's played by actual little girl. Oh no, it's too cute. That kind of thing.
I haven't watched anything past the first episode, so I'll find out where that goes, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, I never got around to that one. I did watch Mob Psycho, which was good. I liked it. Yeah. I mean, that's not a controversial opinion.
Yeah. This newest episode 3, really clicked with me. That was where I got the show, and I was like, oh man, this is a cool show.
Yeah, same. I was like, I don't know, I'm sort of waiting for the other shoe to drop, and episode 3 is like, okay, this is what the show is actually about, and I'm like, oh okay, I get you. I'm on board.
Oh, okay, so I guess I should watch the next 2.
I would recommend it.
Right.
It's a good show.
it didn't the animation was neat.
Yeah.
The story just didn't really...
It doesn't really, and I think you can kind of tell that while watching, as they show that percent number going up of Mob's emotions or whatever. And it's like, until this hits 100, which is in the title, we're not really going to know what the show is about. So you have to wait for it to reach 100, and it takes a while.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. So, Jacob, you've been watching, for the site, you've been watching Danganronpa.
Yeah.
How's it going?
It's pretty sweet so far. It's pretty great. They're doing a really interesting thing where it is 2 shows. One of them is a prequel, and one of them is the end of everything, and they're not technically supposed to intersect, but the author is like, oh, watch both of them at once while they air. And they are like, I don't know how they're going to release this, because it's very clearly meant to be, watch one episode of the end, watch one episode of the prequel, end, prequel, end, prequel, because they're interlacing them thematically in a really interesting way, and they'll cut through, if it was a big movie... The end scene, the cliffhanger, and there's cliffhangers at the end of all of them, is obviously supposed to lead into the beginning of the other side of it. So it's really neat. It's really well thought out. It's all the guys. The guy has a really good character writing chops and is good at making sort of grimy, shocking twists into something kind of meaningful. And it's still, it's still pulling from that. But the prequel side of it is way better, however, than the end of everything side, because it has the cast from the second game. The cast from the first game is you know, they're all right. But the cast from the second game is one that everybody really loves, and so even though, like, less has happened because they're in the, like, and everything was fine portion of those characters' stories before it gets dark, it's just better to hang out with that group than it is to hang out with the more boring season one cast, even though stuff is happening in that, and it's plot-based, and the other one isn't. But, you know.
So one is definitely stronger than the other one?
I guess. I mean, they need each other. You can't watch one without the other. But one of them, it just happens to have all the characters most people still like, so, you know.
Oh. Interesting. That's an interesting dichotomy. I don't... The way that they're writing those shows seems like the biggest writing challenge in the world.
Well, the guy, I mean, Kazutaka Kadaka likes to challenge himself structurally. Like, every time he's done a new one of these games, it's the structure of it has been completely different, and it's been a structural writing challenge, so I think he just likes to do that to himself. So, you know.
Right, right. Sam, have you been watching anything else lately this season?
I am keeping up with, obviously, One Piece and JoJo, and then also I mentioned Orange is the other one.
Right. Jacob, you're watching Orange too, right?
Yeah.
And did you read ahead in the manga?
No, I'm just
going to watch
the
show.
Yeah, when there is an animated adaptation of something, I usually just sort of go with it.
Yeah, right. It makes sense. What about you, Sam?
Yeah, I'm just watching the anime for now. And it's nice. It is about what it looks like so far, which is, you know, a very pretty, like, high school romance drama that... With just about everything that you would expect that includes. I mean, I guess there's an element of time travel, but it's not, this isn't like a sci-fi show or anything. It's just got like that one hook to it that's got a little bit of mystery to it.
Yeah, I think I'm definitely going to go read that manga. I said that last time. I think I need to have like free time in order for that to happen.
Right.
Which hasn't really happened a lot for me lately. The only thing I have watched is Berserk, which... Okay, I meant to watch 4 episodes. I only watched 1, 2, and 3. Mm-hmm. I got to the end of the third one and said, maybe that's enough Berserk.
That's enough.
For one day. I don't think I need to watch more than, like, definitely a weekly show. I don't think I'm going to watch that one.
That's what I wrote about
when
I was writing about it. It's like, you know, I'm glad this is just once a week because even in its dumpy CG... In its dumpy CG translation, Kentaro Miura's concepts are a little hard to watch, you know? They're a little fucked up.
Yeah. Somebody was talking the other day very smartly on Twitter about how they thought Berserk was basically the finest execution of a dark fantasy concept. Like, you can't get better than that in terms of, you know, visually representing those ideas and fully exploring just that aesthetic. He's probably right, but it's just so relentlessly fucking brutal. And I gotta be honest, like, episode 2 looked really bad.
It did.
Like, really bad. Mm-hmm. To the point where I was having trouble with it. Like, to the point, I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna keep watching this. This looks so bad. Like, some of that stuff just...
The doll mouth stuff. And, like, and she's whipping
wowzers.
Right, so... you can't even cover it up with it's dark or whatever, but, they're in broad daylight with these little cel-shaded puppet bodies wearing very bright armor. It just looks bad because it's just like, you know.
Yeah.
And she's... And this character is... An important new character introduced that is whipping Guts, torturing him for information. And it's cel-shaded bodies, so they can't, like, cut them up or show, like, lacerations or anything that looks sort of wet and raw. It's just puppet body hitting puppet body and, like... When they cut away and cut back, there's more red lines on their puppet body. And it's like, no, this does not work. This has to be.
Yeah. It doesn't look good at all. Uh-huh. And it... Like, the story is really strong. The directing... Like, the guy's directing the hell out of it still.
He's trying really hard.
He's trying his hardest, but I feel like it can't... They can't keep it up. Mm-hmm. It's already kind of starting to buckle under the weight of it. The third episode was too much. It was too much. Mm-hmm. Like, the... It looked slightly better. That I think it's just because it was dark. Like, the second one took mostly in place during the day. Like, the third one was mostly at nighttime and inside. So right. Maybe it looked a little bit better.
The CG dogs were okay. Like, they weren't good, but it was like, all right, that sort of works. And then the CG horse, no.
Yeah.
No. Or the apostle. The apostle looked terrible.
No. Yeah. Yeah, the apostle didn't look good at all.
I don't know if I'm going to keep going. Maybe I'll just go back and start reading that manga again. I have like a box with a bunch of Berserk in it somewhere in the house. I should go dig it up and read it again. I kind of wonder, because I don't think I've really read Berserk. I've read like scattered volumes here and there, and when I pick one up, it's like, hey, it's still Berserk. But I feel like if I went back and read it, I wonder, because, you know, I really liked Berserk. I was into it in, you know, when that first show came out. I was reading the manga in, like, the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I would react to it now. Because watching this, I'm kind of rolling my eyes at it.
Well,
a little bit.
They're past their best material. Like, even people who are big fans of it, they're like, oh, it gets just as good as Golden Age later. They admit, like, this is the part at which Miura was very obviously going, what now? And yeah. He doesn't really have anything to say just yet. He's, like, trying to start from scratch. And he's starting from scratch. The only character you have left is Guts. He's effectively written out every other character from the Golden Age arc in one way or another. Because he can't just go to what Griffith's doing, because he needs to put Griffith off screen for a while. So, yeah, it is a bad idea. You could turn the entire Golden Age arc into its own story and close it off. That's how complete it feels and how strong it is by itself. So he's trying to create a new story, basically, with the same protagonist. Even though it's funny, the title Berserk and where it comes from doesn't even enter the story until after the Golden Age arc. So it's clear he was planning to do this. He just didn't realize how hard it was going to be when he got there, I think. So
yeah. I don't know, man. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm glad that show exists. I'm glad it's on. I'm glad I can watch it, because I feel like I can drop in, see how Berserk's doing every couple weeks. That'll be fun. But yeah, I haven't really been watching anything else. I have been writing comics. Vice Luna, it's on the site, read it. It's doing good so far. It's actually doing pretty well so far. And people seem to like this week, so check it out. I encourage you to read this thing. It's good. Sam, you're not watching Berserk, right?
No, I'm not.
So. Yeah. Good for you. Good for you.
Not good for you. I have to review it because nobody's watching it.
I'll read that manga one day.
Okay, let's go ahead and take these Twitter questions. How about it? Okay, NobleKind92 asks, given how adult Berserk is, how much of the new series is censored, and does it get in the way of anything important? Well, no. Like, no. Censorship, like, that show has so much shock value that...
Taking stuff out doesn't hurt it, frankly.
Yeah,
that was
you can only really take shocking stuff out of Berserk.
Yeah, the first show was, in my opinion, better than the manga because they took stuff out. They were like, this is not necessary. They left in a lot of shocking stuff that was necessary, because a lot of it is. But there's so much that you can take swaths out, and it's fine. Like,
it's like a bowl that has like so much cereal in it you can't see the bowl.
Yeah.
And it's like they like take some of the cereal off the top, and you still can't see the ball. And you're like, "Nah, it's okay.
Yeah. It's still it's just fine. As effective.
That's
like,
enough." Yeah,
they didn't take anything. Like Guts is okay. So Guts's horrible childhood in the series, like it explains everything about him just perfectly. You actually can very very gently and deftly take out the part where he was raped a lot, and it doesn't change his story at all. So. You know, and they did. They took that out in the show.
But everyone knows that rape is the surefire shortcut to drama.
Right.
Well, and it is the quickest way to give your story emotional stakes. Mm-hmm. That's what I've heard.
Right. Miura, I almost can't come down on him as hard as other people who try this, because other people try this, like, they stake a rape in the story or whatever, and it's like, that's cheap. Miura, literally everybody that's important at all has been raped at some point, so it's like, well, I mean, if you're gonna go overboard, if it's just gonna be like, oh, yeah, no, literally everybody all the time, then it's like, you know, you I guess you've committed. It's not good. I'm glad they took it out, but at the same time, like, you know, if you're gonna commit, I guess... It's dark. Berserk is dark, man. You know, it's grim.
But you have to kind of accept that going in. At the same time, it's kind of on you to be like, all right, I'm going to go into this. When do I want to get out? All right, now I want to get out. Yeah. If you start complaining about the content, then it's time to get out.
Yes.
That's when it's time to leave, because you know what it is. Like, you know what it is before you're going in. Berserk announces what it is. So if you're in there and you're like, it's like you go to a rock concert and it just keeps getting, it advertises, this rock concert will keep getting louder.
Yes.
Like, when you start saying, it's too loud, just leave. Because they told you what it is. They told you what's up.
Yeah, the cover of this basically announces to you, it's like, this is going to be too loud.
Yeah.
It's going to stay. It's totally going to be too loud. Just go with it.
100%. All right. Zinky asks, why does the film industry release its blockbusters during the summer? Is it the historical appeal of air conditioning? No, that's when kids are out of school.
Right.
Across the country. Summer vacation. Is it maybe this person is from a place that is not America? Mm-hmm. We have summer vacation, which lasts generally across the country from May to about August. That is when big movies come out. Yeah.
Although now blockbuster season is extended like back into March.
That's expanded now to the first or second weekend in March. And then you'll have a little dry spell in April, but end of April, first weekend of May is the first summer weekend of the summer movie season. That's the last weekend is really, if you want to really get serious about it, it's like the second weekend of August is really the last weekend. Mm-hmm. Anything that opens past the second weekend of August is really more of a fall film. It's really kind of a dumping ground, actually.
Right.
Late summer and September are the dumping grounds for movies studios don't really have any place else to release. Like January, for example. January and February. Although, since American Sniper opened in January to like $100 million, now they're starting to open prestige movies in January. So that month's off the table for a dumping ground. As well. It's a complicated thing. It's a complicated thing that I've thought a lot about, as you can tell. All right. Firkwin Root asks, what with 90s anime being popular again and being remade, why do you think this is so? What other comebacks do you see? Sam, why don't you take that one?
I don't know. I just feel like the entire world is kind of obsessed with the concept of nostalgia right now, or at least they have been.
What makes you say that?
just a few points of evidence here and there.
It feels as though the 90s in particular.
Yes. It doesn't hurt that, you know, people who were born late 80s, early 90s, like myself, like we're adult age right now. We're in, we're in spending money age right now. So.
Right. So now's when the 90s get revived completely. What comebacks, I mean, is there anything from the 90s you would like to see come back?
I still feel like another Rurouni Kenshin series is kind of inevitable. I'm kind of surprised it hasn't happened yet.
I mean, there's those live-action movies.
Yeah, there's a live... Which I'm excited for. Like, I can't wait to...
I'm happy they're finally coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't seen them yet. Actually, I've seen a few clips of them, and they look really cool. And I'm looking forward to buying those, like, Blu-rays when they come out and whatnot. And hopefully, maybe even... I guess they're getting a theatrical release.
Well, yeah, it's Funimation. They'll do a limited theatrical, I'm sure.
Yeah, so... with any luck, I should be able to, you know, nab one of those. What else was I going to say? Oh, and there's the entire like final arc of that manga never got animated. So,
oh god, the Inishi stuff. But that stuff is so dumb. Where he like makes a wire version of Kaoru that like tricks everyone into thinking it's like that stuff was so dumb though.
I didn't get very far into that arc, so there's a lot that I still have to see for myself in that one.
That Rurouni Kenshin gets ridiculous. It's fun though. Maybe I'm sure they'll animate it. Like they keep reviving that like every 4 or 5 years.
Yeah,
it feels
at least,
like
they got the live action movies. They did at least a few OVAs, and they did that weird manga reboot that from Watsuki himself.
Yeah, did
weird.
You read that?
I did read it, and it's not especially interesting.
It was kind of like it's really just promotional for the movies, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So like it was just sort of this tossed off kind of like, hey, look, remember this?
It's impressive that they got the author of the manga to just make like another couple volumes worth of content.
Yeah. I don't know. I have a lot of love for Rurouni Kenshin. It's corny and I don't think I could ever like sit through that whole story again. Cuz once you've seen it, you know, you've seen it, but I don't know. You don't have any real affection for it, right?
Kenshin, I like the arc that everybody likes, but
Kyoto.
Everything else I kind of...
The Germans, with the guy with the tin ear?
No.
No, not
no.
that one?
I forgot his name, which is why. Bandage Man.
Shishio.
Shishio. Mm-hmm. And I like the Shishio arc, like everybody likes it. I like Hajime's character arc.
Yeah, same here.
He's introduced.
He's my favorite.
The rest of it, I forgot a little bit. I like the stuff in it, but the stuff in it was captured better to me or more strongly to me in Yu Yu Hakusho and Trigun. Like if you cut Rurouni Kenshin in half and focused on two different things more, you would end up with Yu Yu Hakusho or Trigun. So I, you know, I like it, but I don't like it as much as some of the other classic stuff that came out around a similar time. So,
I feel like even though, like, we were talking about this the other day, Jacob and I, it feels like Yu Yu Hakusho is, like, ripe for a redo. Yeah. Like, the original, like, you were talking about the anime, like, covers the manga perfectly.
Well, completely, yeah, there's nothing left, basically.
But they could still redo it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Just, yeah, give it a new... coat of paint, basically.
And it feels like they're floating that because there's new Yu Yu Hakusho merchandise, like, coming out. Right. So maybe they're floating the idea.
Right.
We'll see. Jacob, what do you want to see?
Redone? I mean, after JoJo's, I didn't have anything.
Yeah, you don't have an answer anymore.
But, I don't know. I just, my dream project, I guess, would be if they did a Trigun Maximum and they did the manga. But I don't see that happening. Like, that's not a thing in Japan like it is over here. And even here it's not as much of a thing. But that would be great, because the stuff in the manga that they could now animate, that they couldn't animate before, is bonkers. Like, it's so cool to look at. I wouldn't have thought any of this if Blood Blockade Battlefront hadn't been made. But because it was made, it's like, oh, it's possible. Like, it's now possible for them to animate this stuff. And that would be great. But I don't think it's gonna.
Then they announced it's by the studio that handled the recent adaptation of Berserk.
Yeah, that would be bad. But, no, I mean, like, if they said that Rie Matsumoto wanted to make a Trigun Maximum, I would just melt. I would explode, and then the pieces that were left would melt and go up in smoke.
I wonder if you could even get funding for that. Because I have no idea if Badlands Rumble made any money for anyone.
It did. Well, I don't think it did. That's the thing. I don't think this is possible, because I don't think that Trigun has enough of a grounding, enough of a fandom in Japan. But Blood Blockade Battlefront did really well, which is the only thing that makes me think, oh, maybe, but I don't. But that's a big maybe. So.
Yeah. That's weird.
They also, the Trigun manga did go up after Blood Blockade, so I don't.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
You know, Badlands Rumble was also not that exciting.
No, I didn't like it at
like
all.
If they did a proper if they did like a proper TV show,
yeah.
I bet it would have a chance.
No, Badlands Rumble was I'm a big fan of Trigun, but I didn't like Badlands Rumble at all. I thought it was like a toothless version of the episodes in the first half of the show. Like, it was less effective than some of the episodic stuff in the first half of the television show. So I just, yeah, I want something from the comics where you have like the crazy angels with like 10 organs and 20 wings and the, you know, gung-ho guns that do, like, really crazy shit. I want to see that.
The gung-ho guns is a pretty great name
it
for something.
It's great, man. I like his weird English names for things. They're dumb and great.
It's a really good name. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Firkin Root also asks, why do you think Kiz Niver wasn't as successful as Luluko? Well, I'm going to say the writing. Do you think Trigger should stick to sci-fi, comedy, and action? Well, I don't... I would never... I don't like to do that, like, prescribing, like, this studio should only make blah, because that's awful. Like, I want them to make whatever they want to make. Mm-hmm.
I think things with energy would be a good idea, because Niver was a little lax on energy.
Yeah. Like, well...
known for energy.
I mean, just get a good script.
Yeah.
Just get a good script.
Oh, I like his Niver.
Yeah, right, but right. You would acknowledge that show has a lot of writing problems, right?
Yeah. Yes and no. I mean, like, I think... I guess, just hearing, like, Jake and others talk about it sort of throughout the season, like, eventually I started to get what their problems were, but a lot of it went right over my head. Like, I was not seeing those same flaws.
Oh, okay. So you're on the other side of this, then. That's cool.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, like, now I can, you know, looking back, I can see a lot more of what people were talking about when they say that it's very flawed or you know, the word that's getting tossed around a lot, judgmental show. Like, I get that now, but I did not feel that at all during my experience with it, so.
Yeah, I could. That would make that show a lot better if I if I couldn't detect that it was really judgmental. Yep. Yeah,
did
no,
did
I
did not notice.
Huh.
So maybe ignorance is bliss on my end. I don't know.
That's just a difference of opinion. I'm not saying the show absolutely is. That's just what I'm joking around. That's a perfectly valid interpretation. Jacob, what were you saying?
Oh, nothing. The chat was reminding me that, like, you didn't mention Fruits Basket. Oh, of course. They were reanimate Fruits Basket, but you can't just continue it. Like,
I think that's going to happen.
Is it? I mean, it might.
Yeah, it'll happen.
It is feeling a resurgence with the republishing. Like,
look at the amount of American investment that is happening in the anime industry. Look at how well Fruits Basket has perennially sold here. There's no way it's not happening.
Right.
I'll tell you, in the next 2-3 years, in the next 3 years, if there is not a new adaptation of Fruits Basket, I will eat a hat.
Well, when and if it's announced, I'm going to fucking cry tears of blood because that is my favorite manga.
Handled by the same studio handling the current adaptation. Of Berserk.
They're all shell-shaded CG puppet bodies. No, damn it.
it's that really, really chintzy CG animation, except it's Fruits Basket, so they're just in like a blank room with a table.
They get Daichi back for some reason. No, why? You fucked up the first one. No.
Okay, Anime Wondering asks, what are your thoughts on Bleach finally coming to an end, and can Shonen Jump ever recreate the big three heydays? Well, they shouldn't try too hard. That's what they shouldn't do.
That's my opinion as well.
Is not try too hard to come up with the next big three. Now, Sam, you are a big three guy.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, like, Bleach was one that I sort of opted out pretty early on. Like, I never actually got to the end of the Soul Society arc, which is the one people say is the good one. But Bleach is, I don't know, it's just crazy that it's ending. And now that, you know, that big three, it's pretty much just going to be One Piece and Boruto, I guess, for now.
Does Boruto count?
I don't count it, but...
It doesn't have the same readership, does it?
I can't imagine, and I imagine, like, I don't imagine it's going to, like, stick around for super long. Like, maybe they'll get, like, a volume or two's worth of chapters out, but...
Right.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's just so strange that now, like, Shonen Jump is going to be this magazine with a bunch of really great up-and-coming stuff, and then One Piece, which is just, like, firmly in, like, the 800s.
Yeah, well, and they're saying how many more years for One Piece? There's no estimate, right? It's just like...
Well, Oda recently said that he thinks he's around 65 to 70% through the story.
Oh, okay.
So, it's going to be around for a while yet.
Shueisha's starting to sweat. They're like, you need to push this out just a little for another 10 years would be great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think
if you could keep your pace up with like 100 chapters per island, I think we're going to be okay.
Yeah, right. When did One Piece start the manga?
97.
97. It took him 20 years to get here. So if there's 30% left, did anyone calculate that out?
I think, yeah, like Zach from the One Piece podcast, I think he estimated that like if it keeps going at the same pace and we sort of calculated it based on that 70%, it would end like around like 2027, I think.
2020, so another 10 years.
Yeah.
Right, because if it's 2/3 done, there would be another 10 years. Right. Yeah.
Although I don't, it's hard to say because we are in sort of the climactic end of things. Like we're the characters are sort of facing off against like the absolute strongest characters in the series now.
Yeah, but they'll come up with stronger.
Well, no. The idea is that like characters like Kaido and Big Mom and Blackbeard, like they're it, like they are what everything's been building up to. It's going to take forever for us to get to the point where Luffy's actually fighting them and beating them, but they are sort of the gatekeepers of the One Piece right now.
So there's three big bosses left. They have to get through all the level and then the boss.
Well, there's two for sure. Like Kaido and Blackbeard, we're all pretty sure are going to be like endgame bosses here, and then people on their level are like, you know, Shanks and then Big Mom, who we're still sort of 50-50 on as to whether or not she's going to end up being an actual villain or not.
Wait, Shanks is a bad guy?
No, he's... All right, this is... I would love to keep talking about One Piece. There is a danger of this getting too long, though. But basically, there's a group of characters called the Four Emperors, who are the people who run, you know, the Grand Line. They're the strongest pirates in the world right now. They are like Gold Roger level. It, you know, Shanks is one of them. Whitebeard was one of them until he, spoilers, died and got replaced by Blackbeard. And they're Luffy's like main endgame competition for something like the One Piece. And in all likelihood, Shanks is probably going to stay a good guy. If not, like, get killed by one of the other guys at some point, I'm sure.
See, this is great, because I know enough about One Piece to understand everything you're saying right now.
Beautiful.
And I feel like I wish there was like a podcast or a place I could go where I could listen to smart people like you talk about One Piece and read about it, but I don't think something like that exists. Sam, do you know of anything like that?
I appreciate the plug opportunity for the One Piece podcast.
I sound like I'm making a joke, but I actually do really appreciate what the One Piece podcast does, because I have not the time at all to even think about reading One Piece. Not even think about it.
Instead, you have the time to listen to a 3-hour podcast every week.
No, but if I want to drop in,
right?
Yeah. Y'all are the people that I will drop in with.
We recently did a I'm only like one of the occasional guests on the show, but they did a Reether series recently where they just like did episodic reviews on like each arc and just had discussions on each one, which I think are, you know, the most ready to be listened to by people who maybe aren't super caught up on everything and wanting to explore like every single little detail. Then those read through episodes are probably where you want to go.
Cool. All right. Now we got to get off of that. Get off of that subject. Julian Moran asks, what do you think of the JoJo's? What do you think of the JoJo's to be continued thing becoming? Okay. Well, how do you feel about JoJo's Bizarre Adventure becoming a mainstream meme? It's not.
No, I mean, even if it hits big on Toonami, like, that's still a small niche of people, basically.
Yeah, we're done with monoculture, so mainstream is sort of out of the question, but maybe we should stop thinking about things in terms of mainstream.
I mean, that just means all the little... that basically means a bunch of 14-year-old kids are going to start making It Was Me, Dio jokes, and everybody else is like, ah, oh, fuck, 2 years
That's the
late.
Only thing they'll take
two
from it.
2 years late.
It'll be... And they'll call it, like, Yellow Man... And it won't have anything to do with anything.
They'll call him Dio.
It'll be Yellow Man and Dat Boy.
They'll be like, oh
and
my
SpongeBob.
God. Yeah, they'll add SpongeBob to it or something. But like, it'd be like, oh my God, have you seen this Dio joke? So funny. And because they saw the second episode or the first episode, and then they Googled that, and it was like the first thing that came up. And so it'll like spread more, and everybody will be like, isn't this 3 years old? And you know. That's what'll happen.
I love that there's an entire class of content on the internet that is literally what just what 6 year olds share with each other. Like it's just, and then the people who identify with and or find 6 year olds hilarious, which is occasionally me. Mm-hmm. Just like the idea of Dio becoming part of that. Ferquin Root asks, does cute girls doing stuff fall under the Moe umbrella? I like Bakuan in New Game. Am I one of those guys now? First of all, there is no those guys.
Yeah, that's the big fuck.
There's no those guys. Like what you like. Don't worry about other people. Cute girls doing cute stuff falls under the moe genre. I mean, moe is not a genre. Mm-hmm.
Moe is a feeling, but it is...
It's a feeling.
It is... there is certain... I mean, if you want to call it moe anime, yeah, that stuff's moe anime, but who cares? So you like a moe... Like, I like New Game. New Game's pretty beast, actually. I think it's... one of the best cute girls doing cute things show I've seen in a long time, but
I like New Game. I watched the first episode and thought it was really charming and funny. I should watch more of it, I guess.
It's cute. Yeah, I like it. It's just the girls just act like girls. That it's not like a weird thing where you feel like they know you're watching them and they're acting a weird way. They just sort of act like working ladies.
I don't know. My only exposure to that show were all the screenshots people were taking of like the girls like just down to their underwear in the newest one.
That's actually... So I like that part of the show. That is the lead dev, where she's like the AD or something like that on the game. She stays overnight at the office all the time. And so the running joke is that she sleeps there and she takes her pants off. And so people come in and she's sleeping and she's not wearing her pants. And I like that because it's very hashtag relatable, so to speak. Like, and they show her, like, she's like, all right, everybody's gone and it's 9 p.m. And she just takes her skirt off and she's like, yeah, free. And, you know, like, that's it's not... And it is fan service-y, but it's like... Yep, I feel that. I understand that. It's not like right. Super... It's very, oh, this is how people behave. Like, they take their pants off when nobody is at work or whatever, you know? So, yep.
Yeah. All right. Let's see here. RHopper237 asks, what do you think the perfect animated adaptation of Berserk would look like? Man, I don't know. I you know what? I'm going to skip past this one. We've talked enough about Berserk today. It would look like the manga. Okay. That's no foul on our hopper. I'm berserked out. I'm all berserked out.
Berserked.
Okay. Alex Cosborne asks, this season has two great sports anime in Days and Cheer Boys. What makes a compelling sports show? Sam, what do you think?
I'm part of the problem when it comes to sports anime. So,
what do you mean part of the problem?
I'm part of the reason why, you know, like publishers and distributors tend not to really go for license that stuff because people don't watch them.
The silent majority.
Yeah.
Jacob?
I mean, I do watch sports shows, but I don't... to me, they have to be about the characters and not the sport, but not to such an extent that the sport doesn't matter. Like, I want to learn about the sport while I'm watching the show. I want the dorks who are part of it to kind of share their interests so that I understand when there's a game, when there's a scrimmage, or whatever. Like, I'm going through this journey with them, and I'm like, okay, here's the stakes. I understand why it's bad that there are, like, three people on these bases or whatever. Like... I need to understand that, because natively I don't understand it, because I don't follow sports, basically, at all. However, if it's about that, and it's just about the minutiae of that, then it doesn't... There's no point. You know, it has to mainly be about the characters. So, I mean, in that sense, you would write about it like you write any story about a specific niche interest that you are, because sports is a niche interest when you're talking about nerds, anyway. So, as the success or lack of it of sports anime over here has kind of proved. So you have to make the niche interest accessible and make it more about universal human experiences, I guess. So it's your boy's boss.
I feel like we've discussed this a few times on the show, and it's always kind of the same answer. Mm-hmm. It's like the sports shows, the great thing about them is usually not watching people play sports. You're watching whatever drama is happening around it, which is basically the premise of those shows. So I don't know why people say that like it's this revelation. Of course, you're not just watching people play baseball. I guess it's something you say to people who have a weird perception about what sports anime is, but...
Cheer Boys and New Game were actually really good, like, back-to-backs on a Tuesday. And I never get to them on Tuesday because I'm so busy. But, like, on Tuesday, like, New Game and Cheer Boys are nice compliments to each other. You got the show for the girls, the show for the boys that are both, like, well above the standards for their genre. It's nice. So, yeah.
Right. Okay. Let's see here. Because Up Reviews asks, do you feel like there's any genre within anime, slice of life, mecha, or whatever, that's been on the rise lately? Jacob, what do you think?
I mean, light novel anime.
Is that a genre? I mean, I feel like it's more trends. Like, there's a lot of Fujoshi stuff, there's a lot of light novel stuff, but there's no, like, if they thought they had a great idea for a mecha show, they'd fucking make it.
Right.
Like, there's so much anime coming out. It feels like any idea that's, like... someone's like, sure, all
right. Right. Yeah, they did that last season. They made, like, the Kurumukuro thing or whatever. His PA works going, let's try the Gundams.
Yeah. Someone in the chat mentions Idol Boys. But that's just, yes, that is part of the fact that Utena Prince-sama was gigantic, and also Fujoshi stuff in general. They're just making a ton of it.
Yeah,
so.
Although I hope the Idol Boys trend is not too all-encompassing, because it does not sell over here. Like...
it doesn't
please
sell.
Don't make too many of those. In Japan, you made like three this season, three of them. Please don't make more than that, because you can't. Over here, we don't care.
Alright, we got two more questions before we're going to take a couple from the chat, and then we're going to wrap up. Final Fury K asks, what were your thoughts on the new Ghostbusters film? Were your childhoods ruined? No, I liked it plenty. Well, I liked it fine. It was fine. I thought it was funny. I thought it was funnier than the original movie, which I am not the world's biggest fan of. But it's a perfectly fine comedy from the 80s.
Right.
I liked it. I loved it when I was a kid, but as I grew up, I just didn't bring it with me that much, you know? Like, some things you bring with you, like you bring Star Wars with you,
It weirds me out that children watch Ghostbusters, because it's...
It's not really for kids.
It's not just, like, there's inappropriate content. It's, like, the humor, the level the humor is working on is not child-friendly. I don't...
It's for SNL fans, the schlubby SNL fan guys in the mid-80s. Anyway, the new one...
People are like, kids movie, and, like...
Yeah, anything with special effects and it gets downgraded to a children's movie and once it goes to video. But I thought it was a little funnier, and I just dug the vibe more. The four actresses totally sell that whole movie. They're the whole reason it's worth watching.
I had a really great time with that movie.
Shut up. Sam, what did you think? you thought it was okay?
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I thought, especially like, man, Chris Hemsworth was... super funny in it, and what's her name, Leslie Jones,
right? Yeah, she's good.
She's really good.
Super cringy last 10 minutes. Mega cringe. Like, I was cringing the whole time. But that's okay. Right.
I was fine with it. I was not super sober at the time, so I want to rewatch
it. Yeah.
Okay. I want to rewatch it so I know I have a firmer opinion. But I was fine with it. I remember being very, this is all right.
We got one last Twitter question. This is from Aaron Sarais. To ask a simplified question about a complex issue, do you feel subpar treatment of real-life idols makes all non-critical idol anime problematic to some degree or another? That's a fucking doozy.
Yeah, I'll say you ended on that one, this heavy question.
I'm going to end on this one. Tell us how you would stem the tide of nationalism. Yeah, no. Okay, we're gonna answer this with apologies that our answers will not be as nuanced as we would like,
yeah,
because of the limited time frame in which we have to answer them. Mm-hmm. That said, Jacob, take it away. Take it away, Jacob.
Jeez. Well, I think that Sam, what do you think?
Why are you putting this on me? I don't think I get idol shows. So I don't. I mean, I get what the question's about, but I guess I just I got nothing to add.
All right, no, I was stalling for time. Let me think. So I don't think inherently. So as they say, all media is problematic or whatever. Like, and a lot of that depends on what your reaction to this stuff is based on your own experiences. What bothers you because of what you've seen in the world and what it's not reflecting, because art is limited, you know, but that's a whole different conversation. So the ignoring whether it's inherently problematic or not and just talking about if idol shows have a responsibility to be self-critical, I don't think that they do. I think that they don't in any more way than, say, Gem and the Holograms had a responsibility to be self-critical of the big star machine, you know? So, I don't think so. You can criticize Barbie and Jem and stuff like that all you want, but I don't think that the shows themselves have responsibility toward that because they are aimed at kind of children. But if there's idol shows that aren't really aimed at kids, like Love Live, a lot of that stuff sells with kids as much as it does with otaku. So I think that's fair. But if you were to make an idol show that it was explicitly for an older audience and didn't address that stuff, then I think it would be like, what's the point of this?
Yeah.
But a lot of this idol stuff is for younger set. Like a 15-year-old boy or a 10-year-old girl or whatever. Like, so I don't think it has that obligation, no.
I think I agree with that. I feel like, personally, I don't draw a hard moral, like, the idol industry is creepy and exploitative in real life. It absolutely has serious problems with it. That does not mean that every single show has an absolute ethical responsibility to do nothing but cover it as though it is an absolute, like, human rights violation.
Oh, and I should clarify, Love Live actually gets out of it. There is, like, a thing, press, I don't know if you've noticed, but whenever, like, in promotion materials and stuff like that over here, Love Live, they're not called idols. They are specifically called school idols over and over and over. School idol, school idol. And the reason for that is because it makes a very big difference when talking about the idol industry, because they are not managed by anybody. They are not working for, like, a paycheck, and they're not in tight. They're, like, the Love Live girls are self-managing. They're not attached to a recording label. And so that kind of exempts them. So that's very the reason they say school idols very specifically is because they're like, oh, this is a school club version of being a pop idol. So they don't have to be beholden to any of that creepy stuff that idol culture is beholden to. And it's this, like, sort of fantasy world where this can happen, where they can afford to self-promote and make all these amazing costumes and stuff like that just as girls in school, which is nice. Like, that's cute. That's reassuring. But it is, it's like an out, basically, to not have to talk about that stuff.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, just straight up, I don't have a problem with something like Love Live or Idolmaster at all. It's a fantasy just like anything else. You know, selling a fantasy version of that is no more or less like on this level. I feel like you could absolutely make the violence analogy. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm going to watch Berserk, I really can't, like, I can't be like, but the idol industry is exploitative. It sure is. Uh-huh. It is, very much.
Right.
Love Life is fucking harmless.
Right, and I really do think there's a lot to be said for the fact that they Love Live, like, when the girls reach their senior year or whatever, they disband and they go on to live other lives. Like, that's very interesting because it's explicitly making it as firm as possible, like, this exists outside of the idol industry. So, it's kind of cool. I don't know.
All right, Sam, do you have any further take on the idol controversy?
I don't. I think it's been covered. No.
That's where I attempted to throw the bomb back to you, and you took a step back and said, nope. Nope.
Not having it.
Okay. I guess we have time for Thunderbolt Fantasy Thoughts. I'm really excited to catch up on that show when I have time, maybe this weekend. Jacob, are you keeping up?
Yeah, it's great. It has mostly been... I think it is the most funny that Urobuchi has let himself get. He's lightened up so much over the years. Everything he's made... like, has been lighter than the previous thing. Even Psychopaths, which is basically all dark commentary, is not as dark as Fate Zero, so it's like, progressively he's been making lighter and lighter fare as he goes. And now he's just, like, into Thunderbolt Fantasy, which is mostly comedy, and there's, like, themes there. Like, there's themes there, but he's just not in any rush to get to them. He's just kind of enjoying writing these happy characters making bad jokes at each other, and, like, but his bad jokes are actually really good. So, I don't know, he's a great writer, and I'm glad to see him, like, doing stuff that's fun and kind of getting away from that. Like, people are weird about the whole Butcher thing. They're like, oh, he just writes this dark, grim. And it's like, no. I mean, there's lots of levity in his stuff, and there's meaning. It's not just darkness for the sake of darkness. And now he's just writing stuff that's just, like, happy and funny and, like, action-based and Sentai-ish and, you know, crazy magical powers cuckoo. Like, so it's great. He's breaking away from that limitation of his style, I guess. Or what people kind of pigeonhole him into.
Sam, have you seen Thunderbolt Fantasy?
I watched the first episode, and I think the idea of a, like, a puppet show like that is really novel. I haven't really been keeping up with it, nor do I have any particular opinions about it.
It's just like, that's neat.
Yeah, pretty much.
I can respect that. Okay, hey, that actually wraps us up. Thanks to everybody who dropped by the chat. We will have another show next week. Thanks a lot, guys.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Okay, that's our show. Big thanks to Sam for stopping by. The theme song is Bucharest. It's by the band The New Division. Previously, this message said that that band had broken up. They have not. My information was incorrect. I'm sorry about that. The theme song is Bucharest. It's by the band The New Division. You can check them out at newdivisionmusic.com. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a rating or review. We'd really appreciate it. And we'll see you all next week.